Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, here live with the amazing Austin Keane. Savannah, Georgia, you thought was known for Bobby Jones, but there's a new golfer in town. He's a wakeboarder, skim surfer. He is an entrepreneur, and he is the founder of Marsh Water.
Yeah.
Welcome, Austin Keane, to the Playbook.
Thank you for having me.
You know, great having you. It's so interesting when I see athletes in alternative sports, and there's so many today. I mean, there's cornhole on ESPN2, pickleball is another great one.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are skills. And it's funny because I believe golf and bowling are skills. If anyone knows John Daly, they probably, or the Walrus, Craig Stadler, would probably agree with me. But there's some alternative sports that I think people don't realize how athletic you need to be. And it, you know, cheerleading is one of them that I'm thinking of. These are incredible athletes that do shit that I can't even dream about doing. But I think wakeboarding and surfing is like, it's so athletic and it takes a variety of different skill sets. For you, you know, what are those athletic skills that best make a great wakeboarder, for example?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like coordination, a lot of coordination, mind, body, kind of, I think with any sport that you want to be really good at or any skill set, you just have to have the drive to be good at it. You know, like as I've gotten into golf over the past 6 years or so, like you meet people who are obsessed with golf and then you meet people who are like, yeah, I kind of want to learn how to play. But I'm like, same with surfing. I'm like, you can't kind of want to learn how to play, you know, you got to like really want to do it because you're gonna have to grind through all those bad moments, you know, and with surfing, it's like a journey just to paddle out to the wave, let alone the whole process of learning how to stand on a board and surf a wave properly. The same thing with golf, right? It's just like, you got to learn how to hit the ball before you can enjoy it. So I think just, you know, coordination. I think I saw Ian McCall here. He's, you know, martial arts legend, you know, I think that's got to be one of the most underrated skill meets physical ability, like conditioning that exists. You know, it's so much skill set plus physical conditioning. What those guys do is amazing. So,
yeah, through the process of being consistent and persistent, this desire that you must be what you can be that makes you who you are, no matter what it is that you put in front of you, like entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And I think that's a superpower that I was born with, that I just learned to enjoy consistency. And maybe partially because I was OCD of some respect that made me feel good.
I mean, if you can enjoy consistency, that's the magic. I feel like the magic ingredient right there with anything, you know, is just that. And that's actually one thing that I knew that, you know, growing up, I knew there's like, I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. And I knew that there's a million ways I could make my way to financial freedom. But I didn't want to do it in a way that, you know, I hated the journey along the way, you know? So like I've always, my philosophy has always been do something that you know that you're okay with grinding it out for a long time and that you're going to enjoy the process and be consistent at.
Yeah. And notice I'm going to give a different perspective of that. Like, cause I teach people, you have to be someone that learns to love what they don't like or love about what they love, like paddling out.
Yeah.
Right. Or crashing.
Yeah.
Right. And there's no one that likes or loves, you know, for me, I always joke around, but it was, you know, sitting on the bench in college playing football. Right. I had to learn to love that because I loved football so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And it was worth the three plays that I got my freshman year or whatever it was. And I think that's true in entrepreneurship. And the reason it's so true is that I try to teach people that today, the circumstances and evidence of today will never be indicative that you're going to be where you want to be. It'll most of the time be contrary even to where you want to be. So you need to love the behaviors and trust or have faith that I'll keep doing this trick until I get it right, even though I've crashed 18 times in a row and all the evidence is I'll never be able to do this, whatever it is, X trick in your case or you know. And yet sometimes on number 19, it happens.
Yeah. I mean, skateboarders are a prime example of that. You know, they'll hit the same like rail or whatever it is, like over and over and fall. I think the hardest thing with my sport is like, you can't hit the same exact line or ramp every time. It's, you're working with the ocean, right? And the wave is different. The setup is different every single time. So that's been the most frustrating thing about skimboarding and
probably surfing. Helps you with golf though, because all the,
it's even more frustrating because I'm like, the ball is right there. It's not moving. Why can't I hit
but everything else is.
So, yeah.
So let's talk about marsh water. You know, when you, you know, build content like you do and you have a big community, everybody thinks it's a lot easier to build a business. You know, I'll get people who ask me, just post this and the whole world's going to buy it if David Meltzer posts it, or interview me or get Gary Vee to interview me and my whole business will change overnight. And that's fucking not true.
Yeah.
But you can leverage, like I have, your community in picking the right opportunity. What were some of the aspects of marsh water that excited you? And did you take into consideration the community and the brand you already built?
Yeah. So, I mean, I had no interest at all to get in this type of business whatsoever. I'm actually like super health and wellness type of guy. I started a cold plunge studio in Dana Point, sold that a couple of years ago. I've invested in Healthy Snack Bar Company, still involved with that.
Which one?
Vitamin Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still out there. Get at Discovery Land, Discovery Property, any of the properties. But yeah, so marsh water just kind of, I just saw a gap in the market, saw a trend. I feel like that's one of the gifts I've had for a long time, is just kind of seeing things before they're something. And I saw that the categories were trending that direction. Nothing I miss more about the Southeast and Savannah and Charleston and that area than the marsh. Growing up there, I just always said I want to do something with the marsh, or just always miss it so much. And then the name popped in my head. I had a network of guys who are really experienced in that world, ended up meeting a couple more. It was just like one of those ideas where like, I was like, I got to just see it through. And as soon as like I hit like, say like that major wall where things aren't kind of opening up, then I'll, you know, I'd be like, okay, maybe that makes sense. I shouldn't be in this business. But things just kind of just unraveled, you know, like I feel like when you're on the right track with something, the road, there's going to be bumps, but like the road just kind of keeps guiding you down it, you know, and that's kind of how this has worked out. And I mean, it hasn't even been a year. We've signed with like three major distributors where we have more states that want to take us on, and we like just launched. So yeah, things are going good. I'm learning about the industry as I go on. I'm no expert by any means, but I have a great team, so that helps. But I'm having to learn a lot about supply chain, manufacturing, putting all that stuff together. So, I mean, even just corporate structure when you get like a legit team together, you know? So a lot of learning, but yeah, it's pretty amazing when that's one thing I would say. If you have an idea, just see it through. At least take the first step. And then if the first step goes the right way, go take the next step and just kind of see what happens, you know?
Yeah, as long as you have that desire. Like you have in everything that you do. Cultural differences, you know, when I see your career and think where you came from, you know, I travel to 200 cities a year and I love appreciating cultures, which means to add value to them. And I always kind of look at a perspective of what are the differences in this culture, but what are the similarities as well. You've had, as I, this great exposure to this cultural differences, growing up where you do, the sport that you do, growing up out here in competitions all over. What are some of the cultural differences that were challenging to you? And then what are some of the similarities in culture that you've seen traveling the world?
I would say the most difficult part, I come from very humble beginnings. You know, my mom was a nurse. My dad was always working construction in a different state. And somehow, like, it was never enough. But yeah, I think just, you know, I grew up like kind of more blue collar, you know, like I had a job when I was like 14, you know, and I just kind of already had that mindset of like just working hard. But then at a certain point, I knew I was like gifted in like this action sports thing. And I just knew that there had to be more to life than like this little kind of traditional bubble in the South that I grew up in. And But through that, I just kind of picked like little odd and end jobs that allowed me to become an expert in my craft and just get as good as I possibly could because I was obsessed with it. And that's what I did. And I think that's kind of like the biggest gift where I grew up and my upbringing gave me is just kind of not really having anything handed to me, just like having to grind from the very beginning and still grinding to this day, you know, and just always got to remind myself that even when things get a little comfortable sometimes, like, you know, keep going. But I think that's what keeps me going too, because the further I get, the more scared I get to like even go backwards. So I just want to like keep getting for it's like almost like not that I'm chasing any type of like superficial
outcome.
Yeah, outcome. It's not like I don't really need, like I could drive the same truck for 20 years if I made $1 billion tomorrow, you know, but like, it's just not having my freedom go backwards. That's what I want at the end of the day is just freedom. Yeah.
Yeah. Freedom means a lot to a lot of different people, a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Yeah. And my favorite interviews was, you know, Mike Tyson, when someone brought up freedom and they said, yeah, what does freedom mean to you? And he said, you know, money. You know, means freedom. And he just freaked out. He's like, what did he just say? He said, money means freedom. He's like, is he kidding me? Like, he couldn't, in his own perspective, because what money had done, taken away his
freedom. Interesting.
Right. And I thought it was, like, he couldn't even fathom that somebody would think that. So, you know, I'm curious. For me, freedom is doing what you want, when you want, with who you want, for as long as you want.
Exactly.
I'm very clear on that. I wasn't when I was younger, but I've been able to build a life where I do what I want, when I want, with who I want, for as long as I want.
But don't you think that sometimes people can like misconstrue having money with like
right,
that,
be, the that capability. Gives you that? That was like, my problem the first time.
Yeah,
right?
And then like, sometimes like
I money. I thought I could buy that.
Yeah.
And it was golden handcuff. You got golden handcuff after golden handcuff, and ruining relationships, self-image. There were so many things. In fact, when you were describing one of the motivations for making money is I never wanted to go bankrupt. But you got to be careful what you are afraid of and what you worry about.
Totally.
Right? Because that's where the biggest lesson for me was that day I had to tell my mom. Because, you know, people, they don't realize, like when you're very, very wealthy and you're losing everything, it's not like you're telling anyone and you will wait till the last day to tell your own wife. Right? It's not like, you know, it is not something. And I just remember, and it kind of evolves for me in this story because I was like, who did I tell? And I'm like, I just fed into the fact that everyone thought I was successful, and which made it so much worse when you had to go tell your mom, like you've already claimed bankruptcy and she's evicted from her house. But that was the day, right, that I realized all that fear, all that self-identity into my bank account, here's the lesson, right? And I didn't realize I was being protected, promoted, loved, and perfected, as I say now, but my mom sure did. Because that's how she responded to me when I said I'm being punished by God. And she's like, oh, you're not being punished. You're being protected, promoted, loved, and perfected. You got to figure it out. That was her response to moving out of her house. Wow. So when you say that, I would say, be careful what we're afraid of.
Yeah,
and stick on those behaviors, right? Because to get to where you are, one of the things I love about being around great athletes, entertainers, and billionaires is I examine their behaviors. And I will tell you this, regardless of AI, the same behaviors that it took 100 years ago for Napoleon Hill and all his friends to be successful are the same behaviors that it takes today. It's just a lot easier to amplify your behaviors today because of technology. You get a lot more out of them, but you still need the exact same behaviors from 100 years ago. And I haven't really studied farther beyond, but I imagine human nature never changes. It's the same behaviors 1,000 years ago that created the most fulfilled, passionate, purposeful, and profitable people. Behavior-wise, you know, aligning it with your divine direction, what's one behavior that is a superpower for you?
One behavior that's a superpower. I think just trying to lead with intuition and authenticity and just kind of sticking true to, you know, what feels right to me. And aligning myself with good people. I mean, I've been super blessed, and I don't know if that's when you're authentic, you attract more good people in your life. But I've been very blessed with the people around me, as far as like who I work with or, you know, I've done business with. So I think just leading with intuition, authenticity has probably been a superpower of mine, and kind of seeing the vision before, you know?
Yeah. I think humility as well. You know, what I love about our relationship is, you know, a lot of guys, they'll see you and they won't come up to you for whatever reason, right? And every time we're even within, you know, 100 yards of each other, we're running over. It's always weird places. We live by each other, but we'll see each other in like Georgia, some airport somewhere, be on the same plane.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. Last question. You have a long way to go, and there's a lot of great things in your future. If you, instead of going back, giving yourself advice, what advice do you think you'll be giving your 100-year-old? Well, Dr. Sinacropi, in Sun, sorry, Sanjeev, 120-year-old self.
Probably just be patient, you know, and just,
so good.
Like, I'm assuming that the 120-year-old me will be like, the plan is already there. Just be patient, trust the universe, trust God, whatever you believe in, to just kind of just take you down the right path. And surrendering to that has been like probably my biggest lesson of last year, that I'm still continuing to battle with now to drive home into my soul, is just surrendering to the process, understanding the timing is going to work out, because it does. You know, that's like, you're never going to have those serendipitous moments unless you surrender to letting them happen. If you're trying to control everything, it's just like you feel like you're this salmon swimming upstream all the time, you know? So
true. The ego tries to defend and it tries to prove.
Yeah.
It definitely tries to control. And if we can surrender the reaction to that, success is there. The coincidences are created, as you know, because this is the story of your behaviors, by paying attention to what you want, but giving it intention. That equals the coinciding of the universe. But you have to be patient. I don't know if you read Michael Singer at all, but if you're...
That's the
surrender experiment.
Just read that book.
Yeah.
I swear I just read it. I don't read a lot either. I'm going to be honest.
Use audiobooks.
Do not read a lot of books.
After law school, I swore off books.
That book was awesome.
And then audiobooks came about. It was perfect.
Yeah. So it was funny. I actually read that book recently after like that whole surrender was actually my lesson of last year. And I read that book and I'm like, dang, talk about, you know, yeah, that guy really surrendered, you know?
So much.
Just
still
saying
does.
Yes to a lot of stuff. So.
Yeah, letting it all work itself out.
Yeah, it's and pretty
he
wild.
Wrote a book now, the new one, Untethered Wisdom, which is life-changing as well. So I'm a huge Michael Singer fan. Also a huge Austin Keen fan. I surround myself with the right people and the right ideas. It's amazing the similarities of the biggest and the greatest and the most fulfilled people I meet. It's a desire that they must be what they can be. Kindness, humility, and consistency, and you represent all those to
me.
Congratulations on Marsh Water.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in person.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure, man. Hopefully you'll come back.
That
was awesome. I'm David Meltzer here with Austin Keen. This is Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.